Clay Baker, Vinny Bonsignor. We're all here in our Las Vegas studios. 702-365-9200 is the number to reach us on both the text line and phone number here on Raider Nation Radio. The text line brought to you by don'tbebroke.com. We'll peek into college football with our good friend Tim Murray from VSiN. He's a college football betting analyst. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the quarterbacks prospectively in the draft coming up, as well as some overrated and underrated teams in the college football top 25. At 9 o'clock, we'll talk a little Stanley Cup Game 7. It's tonight on ABC between the Oilers and the Panthers. We'll talk to Ryan Wallace, Vegas Golden Knights insiders, Ryan Hockey Guy on Twitter. He joins us at 9 here on Raider Nation Radio. 702-365-9200 will also be a special little number for you, because in about 20 minutes time, we will give you the keyword of the day and this week's destination for our Summer of Fun contest brought to you by Planet Nissan. Also hit us up on X at R&R 920 a.m. here on this Monday. Vinny, good morning, man. How are you?
Doing all right. And when we talk about college football, of course, we're talking about the first year of the 12-team playoff. I think it was the right move to expand and give, you know, some other teams an opportunity. And I feel like that's going to help. I mean, NIL and all that has definitely changed the landscape of college recruiting. But I think that also being able to add more teams. You think about the Alabama revival. It really coincided with the playoffs. You know, they won a couple early on, and that just and it really changed their recruiting dynamic. All of a sudden, everyone said, "I want to play for the team that always gets to the playoff and gets to the championship game." It was like this perfect little storm for them, and they didn't have to recruit anymore. They just had to choose. Yes, yes, no, sorry, we're not going to offer you. And I think by giving more teams a spot at that playoff table, more players are going to look around saying, I could get to the playoffs with this school or that school. I don't just have to go to Alabama. I think that that's going to strengthen everybody's recruiting that's able to crack into the playoffs. Of course, like I just mentioned, NIL is going to play a big role in it. Who's got the money and the resources to play that game? So I'm excited about the 12-team playoff.
I am too, and I think what it does help is also allows a lot more coaches to feel like they have a shot at it. You know, there's a lot more coaches now that you can start building staffs and find some sort of continuity that feel like, yeah, we have a chance at it. And, you know, conversely, there are some schools that are like in certain conferences that are now feeling like, you know, maybe our window's open because we have we got more seniors and juniors than we've ever had this year. Maybe we're able to pile on to something where we can really find, you know, that magic combination of a favorable schedule, start rolling off some wins, and next thing you know, we're in the conversation too, when normally we would just be happy to get to our normal 8 wins and a bowl bid. Well, now people are now feeling like they could ramp that up into something larger, like playoffs, and that even further helps certain conferences and jobs that are on the line because more money gets thrown that way too.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at what the format is. I guess you got to win your conference, right? Is that an automatic bid? Is that how it works? The five or however many? How many power conferences are even left? I mean, Pac-12 is out. Right? There isn't really a Pac-12. I think it's what, 2 teams right now?
Yeah, right.
So they're out. So it would be the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12. Who else are we talking about? Does the Big East have a I've lost track on who Conference America, I guess. I don't know what what the breakdown is on that. We can definitely look it up. So I would imagine that whoever is left.
Well, you got 5 conference champions, right, and then you have 7 at-large teams. Right. So the 4 highest-ranked conference champions will receive like a first-round bye, while the remaining 8 will be seated in a corresponding order.
Right. That sounds fair. I think, you know, I guess it wouldn't mean that the SEC is only capped 2 teams. They could theoretically get 3, maybe even 4 teams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, we'll see how it all plays out. But at the very least, 12 teams is gonna end the argument. I know that there will always be a 13th team. Who cares? I mean, at some point, you got to draw the line in the sand and say, this is it. You know, if you're 14 or 13 feeling you ought to be, you know, one of those 12 teams, you probably, you know, I mean, That's, like I said, at some point you got to draw the line. But I think 12 covers the best teams in the country and gives, you know, the 12 best teams an earnest opportunity to compete for the championship.
Yeah, and you really want to find out of, like, the group of five, too. You'll have the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, 12, and the top group of five conference champions. So those also allow, you know, a little more play of, like, all right, maybe instead of having, you know, five teams from the SEC in the top 10, you could also see, like, you know, certain conferences, maybe it's their year and they get a little more push because of this from either Conference USA or the MAC or the American Athletic Conference, hell, even the Mountain West possibly.
They're guaranteed one spot. Like, it's the highest team of the
group of five.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, that's fair. That's
but sometimes you might even have, like, a team that's, you know, comes out of nowhere and goes undefeated and will make a case for it, you
yes.
know, and it will, like, you know, it'll stir the pot a little bit for, by God, possible parity in college
yeah,
football.
Yeah, I just hope that those Power Five teams don't load up. Like, I remember, like, Liberty, if you looked at their schedule last year, it was just laughable. I mean, it was not a good. I know they were undefeated, but it was like, okay, well, who are you actually playing? So I'm hoping that, you know, that is handled. Like, if you look at UNLV's schedule this year, they play some tough teams to start off with. I know I'm going to, you know, Kansas with them I think it's the second game of the season for them. I'm on my way to Baltimore. I'm going to go cover them when they're playing Kansas. I think they play Houston the week before. So they're playing teams that are, you know, quote unquote above them to start off. I think it's a healthy way to go about it. And hopefully, even if you take some lumps along the way early on, if you handle your business in your division or in your conference, you'll put yourself in a pretty good position to win your conference and then maybe go to the playoffs. I just don't want to see a team just play a bunch of, you know, far lesser teams just to load up just to make their record look good and then you take a look at the actual resume and you're like, well, that's not really, I mean, it's not that impressive. They should be beating the teams that they scheduled.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny over, like, you know, out of those rankings now this year as they start to pile up. And, you know, even like when you start with what the preseason rankings will go and, like, how does that drop down and who can thrust themselves forward into that. But, you know, with at least with the breakdowns of how the college football playoff first rounds coming in, you know, that first round, that'll be, you know, December 20th, December 21st mm-hmm. on a Friday and Saturday. Perfect timing. I mean, this is just going to be this crowning achievement of football towards the end of the year where you're just getting this great matchups in college and in the NFL and all these meaningful games. You just might as well just, like, wave to the wife, you know, be like, you know, listen, once the holidays are over, we'll have time for each other. But other than that, right now, I can't.
You said that in August.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know.
That was 5 months ago.
Right, exactly. So they just keep extending it and extending it. But it will be interesting to talk to our guests a little bit later on from VEASAN about the quarterbacks and who these quarterbacks mm-hmm. Actually are. You know, I think there's so much uncertainty. Yeah, you have Shakur Sanders is somebody that we're all keeping an eye on. You know, Quinn Ewers from Texas is somebody that is highly regarded. Carson Beck from Georgia is somebody that everyone's talking about. But really, there's just a lot of uncertainty because there's new quarterbacks at Oregon. The Penn State quarterback, I think, is projected to be a pretty good prospect, but he's got to put it all together. It's not like last year where I felt like there were a good five quarterbacks that you're kind of keeping an eye on. But even last year, you had guys like J.J. McCarthy who broke through. Nobody's envisioned Jaden Daniels doing what he did and being the second pick overall. So where we stand today in terms of the top quarterbacks in college football is going to look vastly different, you know, by November or December.
Yeah, when we have Tim Murray on, you know, nobody brings you closer to the game and really, like, you know, unpeels it like an orange the way Tim does. And also looking at, there's always going to be the sporadic names, the new names that you get thrust into the spotlight of college football quarterbacks that could be destined to the NFL draft. But are they NFL caliber?
Right. Well, you know, and what's so interesting about how things have happened nowadays, you know, guys like Joe Burrow, nobody really knew who Joe Burrow. He kind of bounced around. He went from Ohio State to LSU. Jaden Daniels was in the same boat. I mean, he played at Arizona State. He went to LSU that first year at LSU. It was okay, not great. And then the next year, he's winning the Heisman Trophy. So there's so many, you know, quarterbacks out there that don't necessarily get the opportunity at the initial school that they signed at because of, you know, where the depth chart is. And then all of a sudden they kind of move on and now they're someplace else, but they have an opportunity to make a name for themselves. So I would imagine, like, I think the Oregon quarterback's from, is he from Oklahoma? I mean, it's hard to keep track right now of where all these guys are. Did you start at Oregon? No, you know, you transferred in. The Notre Dame is in that position again this year. Riley Leonard from Duke, who played well against them when they played Duke last year. And he's kind of he's quietly being talked about as a potential Heisman Trophy winner and a potential high draft pick, now playing at Notre Dame as opposed to Duke. So guys like that have an opportunity to play with better talent and a better, you know, in a better situation, or just be able to play in general. Riley played a lot at Duke, but there's guys that like Joe didn't play at Ohio State. Why? Because the depth chart was loaded at Ohio State, and then in his second year at LSU, they just explode and win the national championship, and all of a sudden he's the number one pick overall. And guess what? He was a worthy number one pick overall. You know, how does that guy not play at Ohio State? Well, there's also a whole bunch of other good quarterbacks that Justin Fields transferred from Georgia. Hurts went from Alabama to Oklahoma. So all this bouncing around of the quarterbacks, and it gives you a chance on a yearly basis to have a Jaden Daniels or a Joe Burrow emerge.
All right, we'll come back with more on the quarterback situation for the Raiders in the regards of, you know, is there a feeling out process among certain veteran players on who they might prefer? There was a story that came over the weekend. We'll tell you what that means coming up next, as well as the destination for this week's Summer of Fun giveaway. We'll give that to you on the other side. It's Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate.
10, O'Connell's going to pass. Settle, taking a shot. Deep down the field for Adams. And he catches it at the 5 in stride. Walks in. Touchdown, Raiders!
Competition, just like what you said. These guys are going out there, and they're not necessarily, you know, Gardner trying to beat out Aiden or Aiden trying to do that. It's more everybody just trying to be the best version of themselves and continue to learn. You know, neither one of those guys have any familiarity with this offense, so just taking advantage of all their reps, learning from the mistakes, because there's going to be, you know, obviously a lot of them. It's the hardest position to play in football, so it's not going to be easy, but they're continuing to push and push each other too, which is the best part about this thing.
Raiders Radio Network with the call from Devontae and Aiden O'Connell hooking up in Miami. And from the spring, back here on the morning tailgate, Raider Nation Radio, Vinny and Clay. We'll talk to Tim Murray at 8 o'clock, do a little four down territory on the way to that. As well, and we think about how things settled in at the end of the mini camp and what you were able to glean from, all right, does one quarterback have the edge over another as far as Aiden versus Gardner? But sometimes this comes down to, you know, scheme fits, of course, and who's working best with what Getsy is looking for in the offense, but also how are certain veteran players also going to determine how's the ball coming out? Who has command of the offense? Who's actually really getting it? And so who's got, like, maybe the best chemistry with the weapons that are out there? So sometimes maybe getting a thought of, all right, how do certain players on this team, what do they think, other than what the coaches think, what do certain players think of which quarterback is really starting to progress to become the starter?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to come down to efficiency, taking care of the ball. You know, we've talked about some of the statistics that both quarterbacks have to improve on from last year, their efficiency on third downs and their play in the red zone. Both of those statistics are statistics that when you're good at it, and quarterbacks are good at it, the teams that have good quarterbacks and are good in those two particular areas, obviously turnovers are critical to that too, are in the playoffs. There's no mistaking the good teams get it done on third down and they get it done in the red zone. Neither quarterback last year, Gardner Minshew in Indianapolis or Aiden O'Connell in Las Vegas, were particularly good in that area. They were both in somewhere in the 20s for both of those categories. That needs to get better. You know, so but to your point, yeah, I mean, you know, a veteran player's feelings or thoughts are going to be taken into consideration, but ultimately they're going to go with the guy that has command of the offense and is showing during training camp and then in the preseason, to whatever extent they play in the preseason. Are you being accurate with the ball? Do you know the offense? Are you taking care of the ball? And are you being efficient in those areas that we just cited?
senior NFL reporter with ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, spoke over the weekend on Sunday's SportsCenter, explaining that this competition is a real battle.
Spring went tit for tat, went after it. O'Connell probably has a slight edge right now based on coming into year two, being more vocal. I'm told he's acting like a starting quarterback, and Davante Adams loves him, which always helps certainly with the brownie points. But Minshew has come in, shown some moxie. He's already got the offense. He's changing plays at the line of scrimmage, I'm told. He's been good at the off-script stuff. So it would be not surprising at all if both quarterbacks got a start in a preseason game. Maybe they go O'Connell first game, Minshew the second game, depending on how the first couple weeks of camp go, and they'll get a legitimate chance. But we have ourselves a real battle in Las Vegas.
And you have said, you walked into the studio trolling me, a Raiders fan, and you said that it's quite a handsome backup quarterback. And to that I would say, you know, all he needs is an opportunity.
That's
it's
right.
He's never thrown to Davante Adams.
That's right. He's got the best job in the NFL because he can start games. Yeah. He can back up a quarterback, makes a ton of money, got a great personality. He's expressive.
That's Jeremy Fowler. At the end, they were talking about Gardner Minshew. They had the full display of all his pictures that he took, for which you can see up at Raiders.com for his multimedia gallery. The thought of, all right, Gardner Minshew maybe getting it in taking a certain kind of grasp ahead where he was able to maybe change plays, do some audibles at the line, only kind of benefits what the Raiders are looking for at quarterback. But this is something that, you know, maybe Gardner kind of like also knows because he's been in these battles before. You know, he's had to start in certain preseasons and in certain camps where maybe there was a quarterback competition, but also where there was new installs and where he had to learn from the beginning as well. So maybe he's just taking a step ahead because he's got five extra years in the league.
Yeah, and aside from last year when you know, I guess there was a quarterback battle. It was basically, you know, they wanted to get Anthony Richardson on the field as quickly as possible. That was the goal for the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson, you know, coming into the NFL with limited experience in college, how do you get better? You go out there and play. You take your lumps, the growing pains, all that. Unfortunately for him, you know, he got hurt, and that's why Gardner ended up, you know, starting for the bulk of the season. But really, when you think about Gardner's career, it's never really been a quarterback battle. He's always been the second guy or the third guy in some cases, and circumstance ultimately led him to get on the field, whether that was in Philadelphia or Jacksonville. So he's kind of accustomed to coming in, not as the guy necessarily, but being ready to play when called upon. And I firmly believe that in an ideal world for the Raiders, that's the exact role that he's going to play. As Jeremy said, he's a guy that can start for you. He's a guy that can come off the bench for you. He's a guy that's a really good, solid backup plan in case something happens, whether it's an injury or performance-based, and you have to call upon him. Plus, he's making a nice little, nice little contract. It's not a, you know, it's not a humongous contract by any stretch of the imagination, but it's good money for a backup in the role that I think the Raiders would like for Gardner to play. But what they want to happen and what might happen, there's all sorts of different variables that are going to go into that decision, and ultimately, it's Aiden. A lot of that's going to be how Aiden O'Connell grasps the offense, how he is able to command the new attack and develop the chemistry or continue the chemistry that he built with some of the holdover, you know, veteran weapons that he's going to be working with. But I think in an ideal world, that's what's going to happen, is that he's going to be the starting quarterback, because I think in the Raiders' eyes and everyone else's eyes, there's still a ceiling there for Aiden O'Connell. We don't know what it is. You know, it could be higher than maybe we first imagined. It could be right where we kind of had an idea that it was going to be, and why he was a fourth-round pick. But we just don't know, and I think the Raiders are curious to find out what exactly that ceiling is.
One thing that that kind of raised an eyebrow is the first part of this with what Fowler said about O'Connell himself.
Yeah, Randy, O'Connell and Minshew in the spring went tit for tat, went after it. O'Connell probably has a slight edge right now based on coming into year two, being more vocal. I'm told he's acting like a starting quarterback, and Davante Adams loves him, which always helps certainly with the brownie points. But
okay, so Aiden O'Connell becoming more vocal. Do you find like maybe he's starting to adapt to, you know, coming out of his shell and being somebody that's, able to either be vocal in the huddle or vocal, you know, in pre-snap reads, trying to change things at the line. Whatever that is, it's a mix that is now kind of like showing the coaches or at least staff and perhaps even players that he's now evolving his game to be, you know, a little bit more vocal, not, instead of having to be the, you know, the quiet, attentive rookie having to learn from everything. He's trying to take a command.
Yeah, and I look at this a little bit, a couple of different ways. Number one, he was vocal last year in the huddle. You could hear him. And when we were there at practice, you could hear him barking out the signals and was very assertive in the huddle. I remember we had conversations about that with him. I think what they're talking about is more the interactions in the locker room and in the meeting rooms. And, you know, he was a rookie last year, so he's going to be, you know, there's that old adage of don't speak unless spoken to. You know, that's how rookies typically are. You want to be quiet because it's not your team. You're coming into a new system. You're trying to learn. Now, when you're on the field, it's totally different. When you're in the huddle, you have to be assertive. You're the quarterback. You're the leader of the offense. You're calling the plays. You're telling guys what to do, and you have to, even if you're acting it before you actually get it, just to put that persona out there, you're going to do that. I think what they're talking about and everything that we've heard is that it's at the team meetings in the locker room, you know, talking smack to guys and being confident and giving it back just as much as you're getting. And guys want to see that. Guys want to see, you know, are you going to be the wallflower? Are you going to be the quiet guy? Are you going to be a leader here in the locker room? And it sounds like Aiden has definitely elevated that aspect of his game, so which is great to see because, you know, as a quarterback, you are one of the leaders of this team, whether you want to or not. That's just the role of that position, and it feels like he's more comfortable now in year two, which is understandable. He's now in year two. He's no longer a rookie. He's done this before, so you should feel a little bit more comfortable expressing yourself in other areas, not just in the huddle or on the field.
This is Devontae on Aiden O'Connell's development.
Yeah, it's more of the comfortability just in general within his own skin, I guess you could say. And, you know, he is who he is now, and he's talking, he's a little bit of everything. You're starting to see more of him versus just the shell of a rookie trying to do everything, you know, by the book, which is that's what allows guys to kind of get to that next level once you figure out who you truly are and start to come into your own. So, obviously, he's balling, and he was doing a lot of good things last year. So I don't want to say like I haven't seen any elevation, but it, you know, he was doing, especially toward the end, he started figuring out who he is a little bit more. And you know, as soon as he got here this offseason, he kind of put his cleats on, strapped up, and you could tell that he's ready.
Okay, it's Devontae Adams in the Wind on Raider Nation Radio from training camp. And so when Fowler says O'Connell and Minshew in the spring went tit for tat, they went after it. Do you feel that by the end of it all, that any one of those guys had any further advantage than the other as they start now approaching this portion of the summer as they head into training camp?
No.
Too close to call?
Yeah. I mean, for based on what we saw anyway. Mm-hmm. And you know, talking to some people with the club, you know, OTAs and minicamp are more for installation rather than evaluation. Yes, you're by proxy, you're watching guys and you're watching footage of practice, and so there is some evaluation. You can't help yourself, but to be fair, you understand, especially with the new offense, the way you know the Raiders are putting in an entirely new offense. You know that part of it takes precedence, and you have to give allowances to the fact that you know, these are players running these plays collectively and individually for the first time, and there's not a whole lot of time to be able to master anything or fine-tune anything. It's just literally uploading an entirely new offense in the time that you're given. So there's some grace given to that. It's not going to look good because of that, and especially when you're going against, you know, a defense as experienced as the Raiders defense was. You don't have your run game there's a lot of different factors.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't think that they went in necessarily thinking or assuming that one or the other quarterbacks was going to take a leg up. Now, we're only basing that on kind of what we're seeing out there. Mm-hmm. There's a whole other component to it, and that's in the classroom. Is one quarterback just decidedly more, does he have a decidedly more command of the offense? Is it coming easier for them in the verbiage and in the play calling and in the understanding of the play call? And everything else, that's something that the coaches would know because they talked to him. You know, they were talking to him there on a daily basis. But in terms of performance, no. I don't think anyone has, the decided edge. I think that's going to be for training camp and the preseason to determine.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back with some four down territory and an interesting thought about the quarterbacks that maybe the Raiders might see in the preseason. We'll tell you what that means coming up next here on Raider Nation Radio.
More Silver and Black talk on the Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Vinny Bonsignor.
First down, and it's first and 10, Las Vegas.
It's Raider Nation Radio, the Morning Tailgate. Thanks for being with us. Hey, we'll give you the key word of the day and the destination in just about 8 minutes here for the Summer of Fun giveaways we do all summer long. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan. Be listening about 8 to 9 minutes. We'll give you that hookup here on Raider Nation Radio. So the thought of for preseason and maybe finding out a little further into the murky waters of who starts at quarterback for the Raiders, well, there's another one in preseason, an opponent for the Vikings. That's week one of the preseason for the Raiders playing at Minnesota for the to begin the NFL season after following training camp. Greg Cosell kind of talked about, all right, who's going to be starting for the Minnesota Vikings in camp? And it possibly feels like, J.J. McCarthy still has a lot of work to do. This is Greg Cosell from the Ross Tucker podcast.
Well, he's got a lot of work to do with his mechanics. He sort of had to work on his drop, his set. There's a lot to work on fundamentally and mechanically. He's a guy that actually has a strong arm but doesn't play as if he has a strong arm because there's so many issues that have to be cleaned up. And I think Kevin O'Connell's really good at this kind of stuff, and they're working with him on that. Again, everything is always looks good when you're not playing in games and there's no pass rush there, and the pocket gets squeezed. But he has a lot to work on so he can play to what his traits are. He worked very hard to throw the ball when he was in Michigan. And, there's issues that need to really be cleaned up. I can tell you right now, there were a lot of people that thought that gave him a third round grade. So I can tell you that for a fact.
Greg Cosell from the Ross Tucker podcast. Of course, Greg Cosell with NFL Films and the NFL Matchup Show on ESPN. All right, so if Fowler's thinking, all right, this is going to come down to, for the Raiders, some time in the preseason to maybe see who starts out, certain games and see how that works out. Could you imagine, J.J. McCarthy starting a game this preseason, week one, against the Raiders, and maybe somebody like Aiden O'Connell versus Gardner Minshew? How do you think this will match up?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, they still have Nick Mullins, and they have Jaren Hall still on the roster, and there's no rush for J.J. McCarthy right now. I'm with Greg, especially with, knowing Kevin O'Connell. He's got a piece of clay in J.J. McCarthy, and this is what Kevin does really well. You go all the way back to his days, in Washington with guys like Kirk Cousins and the quarterbacks that he helped kind of develop, and this is no different than any of that. It's just take your time. When he's ready, he'll be ready, and he will be ready at some point. It could be this year at some point. But there's no need to rush J.J. McCarthy out there. Will he get some time in the preseason? Absolutely. Is he going to start the first preseason game for the Vikings? I don't necessarily think that that's the case. It could be Sam Darnold, for that matter. I mean, they still want to win some football games, and Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold. But with that offense and with that defense, the hope is that the Vikings can compete, and that's what they're going to try to do this year with Sam Darnold. And whenever J.J. McCarthy is ready, he'll be ready. But I would expect if he doesn't start that game, he's certainly going to get some time in that game.
This is why it's exciting times for the Raiders, because you finally get a chance to see some of the potential starting quarterbacks in the preseason. You're going to see some meaningful reps is what I mean. And starting out a game and usually starting out second halves are important for certain teams to decide, all right, how does a guy come out of the locker room? How does the team prepare around him? Preseason, stuff like that. You get, maybe one or two series, maybe more. It all depends on where you feel like the growth is coming out of training camp. But at this point, if you were to say, all right, would you want to see Aiden O'Connell start week preseason one or Gardner Minshew? I'm kind of at a loss, but I would maybe like to see even Minshew. What can Minshew do coming out of a huddle, coming off to start the game, and maybe coming off script? What does that look like with a guy who's had experience? Because I know what Aiden O'Connell can do, but at the same time, I could see it flip-flopping.
Yeah, I think my guess at this point would be it would be Aiden O'Connell to start the first preseason game. And maybe in the second preseason game, You let Gardner Minshew start. And the reason I say that is because I don't think you want to put either guy in a situation where they're playing with a bunch of backups. You know, give Gardner a chance to play with the first team offense for whatever, a couple of series, I guess, in that first preseason game, and then do the same thing for Gardner Minshew. I think by the third preseason game, nobody's going to be out there playing of significance that are in the plans. So those first two preseason games are going to be important, mm-hmm. you know, and I would think, to be fair, you give each an equal opportunity. One game, the next game, whatever order that is, that's up, obviously, to Aiden or Antonio Pierce to decide.
Play action on second and 12.
You know, another quarterback du jour that came out of the draft and one that was so highly thought of out of the first round picks was Jaden Daniels. Obviously, Antonio Pierce felt very strongly about them. You knew the Raiders were trying to make a push to get up there. Dan Quinn spoke on the Jim Rome show very, very openly about how he's been very excited about his progression and watching Jaden Daniels come in with some swagger, but with the calmness of a veteran.
Yeah, I think I said it recently, Jim, and I think this sums it up right. He has the humility and kind of the hunger of the young player. You know, I got a lot to prove. I still got a lot to learn. But he also kind of has the swagger and calmness of a veteran player. So I think those 50-plus starts from ASU and LSU, that seems to come about. You see him on the field, in the huddle. That's where he's at his best. He worked really hard to learn the system. I would say probably, Jim, one advantage of starting something new, all the other players haven't been in a system 3, 4, 5 years where they just knew it inside out. So there was this collective learning going on together, but he was right there at the front of it. And Marcus Mariota has been excellent here too. So here's another guy, second overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner. So to see that connection between he and Jaden, that's been pretty cool to be a part of it.
It's Jim Rome show with Dan Quinn talking about Jaden Daniels. Okay, I mean, I think that bodes well, and it shows you why, you know, the Raiders were so, you know, they wanted to get to that spot. They felt that strongly because they could see all those skills in him too, the way Dan Quinn is describing.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, he mentioned a key thing: 50 starts in college. I think we're going to start seeing more and more of that. Number one, with NIL, keeping guys in college football a little bit longer. With the transfer portal, Jaden obviously moved from Arizona State to LSU. Started a couple seasons, at ASU, and then a couple seasons at LSU. It's a lot of starts to get, you know, in college. And even though the game is different, it's going to be different in the NFL compared to college. There's something about going out there and competing as a starting quarterback. There's something about being the leader of an offense. Understanding your role as that leader, the command that you have in the huddle, playing experience, seeing all different types of coverages and all of that experience, as opposed to an Anthony Richardson who had minimal amount, or for that matter, Trey Lance. That's why I was always, that's a high pick for a guy that I know you were, you know, betting on the skills and the throwing ability and, the obvious athletic traits. Everything else, he screamed, first-round quarterback, but there was no experience there, because of certain injuries and COVID and all that. So I like the fact that more and more college quarterbacks are coming into the league with a volume of work under their belt, because it only helps the process of making that transition. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to has a bright future. I look at that Washington roster. There's a long way to go for that roster. So, but they're going to grow together, and that's the beauty of it.
It's Raider Nation Radio's Morning Tailgate here on R&R 920. Keep listening. We'll talk to Tim Murray from VSiN, college football betting analyst, and part of VSiN's wide variety of shows, part of fantastic shows with John Von Tobel each and every day. You can hear it here as well as up on 1230 KLAV. He joins us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the college game as well with Tim Murray at 8 o'clock. But before we do, we'll give you that chance to send in the keyword. All right, last week for the summer of fun, we hooked you up with a trip to Liverpool, England, home of the Beatles. All you have to do is send in a keyword. It's very, very easy to 702-365-9200. The keyword today is ticket, T-I-C-K-E-T. The destination, Nashville. 6-day, 5-night vacation trip to Nashville. You even get a tour to the Jack Daniel's distillery with $750 spending cash. Text the word ticket into 702-365-9200 to your chance to qualify for the 6-day, 5-night trip to Nashville. Jack Daniel's distillery tour with $750 spending cash money. Hey, let's say you can't make the trip. They'll hook you up with $3,000 cash money just for playing along on the Summer of Fun. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan. Send the word now, ticket, to 702-365-9200. One text gets you qualified here on Raider Nation.
Now back to Clay Baker with your morning tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
It'll be third down and 6 for the Raiders.
Back here on Raider Nation Radio, just wrapping up some four down territory. Vinny and Clay on your Monday. We'll be joined by Tim Murray, host of Primetime on VSiN. He'll join us in a few minutes. He's a college football betting analyst, and he's host of the College Football Betting Podcast for VSiN. Fantastic stuff over the weekend. Had to get Tim on today. But before we do, just some news coming in and out of Kansas City. One thing that you really want to look at is, especially in the preseason, is how do the kickoffs and how do the rules start to change the approach of what we're starting to see on special teams. And Justin Reed, as we talked about early in the spring in Kansas City, that he was planning on being one or more of some of the regular players to start doing kickoffs instead of normal place kicker Harrison Butker. He appeared on Pro Football Talks podcast with Chris Long, Greenlight, talked about the advantage for us. This is Justin Reed. Is that if I'm doing the job, which is what we're planning on doing, then I can fill that last gap, so it makes it a little bit easier, and nobody needs to win two gaps. That's Justin Reed talking about him kicking instead of Butker on that. So do you feel that, you know, as Reed might be kind of showing his hand, but they're definitely going to try to work this out during preseason and see what this looks like. Could you foresee, like, even the Raiders maybe even, like, trying this as well at preseason, even though they know who they want to kick the ball? But maybe just to kind of, like, throw in some variables, maybe have Daniel Carlson sit on the side for a couple kicks during preseason. How do you think this might work off for kickoffs?
Yeah, I mean, they had 15 guys kicking the ball during minicamp and,
wow,
and OTAs. Yeah, they're definitely thinking about it. Every team is. You have to be thinking about that. Because, you know, you don't want your – forget about that he's the last line of defense. That's not really the issue. It's the injury factor. You mm-hmm. don't want to lose your field goal kicker. Field goal kickers take, you know, the kickoff, all that kind of stuff. That's obviously part of the job. But the real part of the job is to score points. And that's being able to be relied on to come in there and be healthy to kick a 56-yard field goal to potentially win the game, or kick PATs that become – crucial in terms of the points. So what you're trying to do is A, put somebody in there that's a qualified tackler, but B, you don't want to put your kicker back there to potentially get hurt. There was a statistic, I forget the exact stat in the league that the UFL that was using similar, not quite the same exact, but similar kickoff rules that the NFL adopted. Kickers were making an inordinate amount of tackles, so you're putting your kicker at risk. You don't want to do that. So yes, for the Raiders' perspective and everybody else, you have to start looking at utilizing other players in that position, and it's going to be difficult because you know, you have to land it in that certain area. You have to land it in that 20-yard landing zone. It has to be, otherwise you get penalized big time. If you leave it short, the other team starts, or the receiving team starts their drive at the 40-yard line. You don't want that to happen. If you kick it out of bounds, they started at the 40-yard line. You don't want that to happen. If you kick it out of the end zone, they get the ball at the 30-yard line. You don't necessarily want that to happen, although I could see a point in time where if the advantage is with the receiving team, because that's the other part. You have to kick it in a way that gives your team a chance to catch up and run down the field. You can't just kick it to the return guy in the air because he's got a full-on starting, you know, advantage. He's going to be catching that thing on the run, and by the time and at that point, when he catches it, is the only time anyone else on the field can move. So theoretically, he could be up the field 10 yards before your guys, you know, are in position to make the tackle. So if the advantage goes to the receiving team, which I think it's going to, just based on what I'm watching. Teams might just say, you know what, the heck with it. We're going to kick it out of the end zone and take our chances with them starting it at the 30 rather than 35 or the 40, which I could definitely see happening if you're not getting the ball, if you're only getting the ball to the receiving team, you know, on the fly or through the air. You have to figure out a way to bounce it. And that means training people that aren't necessarily kickers on the fine art of trying to do that. That's hard to do when you can't just plan, oh, go out there and kick it so that it bounces at the 15-yard line or the 20-yard line and starts rolling, and that gives our tacklers a chance to go down there and tackle. You're asking DBs or linebackers or safeties to do that, and that's not the easiest thing to do. So there's going to be a lot of different ways to look at this and to attack this. And I could definitely see teams just saying, the heck with it. I'm just going to kick it out of the end zone. Let them have the ball at the 30-yard line. It's better than the alternative.
Yeah, because if they're kind of like, if they see that guys aren't getting it and they can't just, plug somebody into that formula, they're going to have to move on from it because they realize that, sure, do I want to save my kicker for the late game heroics instead of him getting nicked up in the second quarter on a meaningless tackle? Like, no, I need him for when it counts the most. But then again, they may not have a choice.
Right.
Because these kickoff rules are going to take a lot of teams by surprise. And whether they have the personnel to cover it all, it remains to be seen. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Tim Murray, host of VSiN's Primetime from 6 to 9 Eastern. We'll talk to him about college football's quarterbacks, perhaps a projection of the top four, all that and more. It's Raider Nation Radio.